Welcome back to Geek Show Arcade. Yeah.
We're here for you.
Buenas noches.
Viva la video games. Mm-hmm. See that? That's right. I spoke some Spanish there.
Way to go.
Mm-hmm. Did you, though?
Viva la. Yeah, I did. Look it up.
Boom. Take that, Lando, who is being introduced right now.
Hi, it's Lando. I'm back from Florida. It's very cold here, and I hate it.
Yeah.
But I'm happy to be back on the podcast. I'm really happy to be here. You can find me on Twitter and Blue Sky, whatever, blah, no one cares.
Okay.
I'm hardly ever there.
I've been
cutting back on my Twitter use, and I don't open Blue Sky anymore.
I'm Jaren. You can find me on Twitter at Jaren, or on Blue Sky, Jeronius.
That's what I was going for. And we got Owen.
Hey there, listeners.
Well,
After hours, Owen, I love this.
Come to my Twitter for something special, at TechNoan, or Blue Sky, at TechNoan.
Wow, that special? Worked. I'm really curious what you're going to do now.
Nothing.
That sounds
but
like a
it's
promise.
Gonna, you're going to go. You're going to go.
Oh, well, that's what disappointment
just,
feels
you
like.
You just gave away the gag.
Did I, though? Why don't you kicking it to our host, Tony?
Hold on, I got to go to Tech Nolan's Twitter and see what's going on.
There's nothing, guys. I just checked.
Gosh dang it.
You can go check out my Twitter. There's not a whole lot going on there right now, but maybe tomorrow I might find something I want to tweet about at Quad T Tony or on Blue Sky at Quad T or on Geek Show Podcast. All right, let's see. We are recording late this time, so we're going to skip over emails this week, but we will be back on the email next week doing those emails. Thank you for writing in, but we'll get to you next week. All right.
We still love you.
Absolutely. All of those things. Let's see. Okay. This was, I think, in my opinion, the most important news of the week related to gaming.
New Sonic game on an iPhone.
Totally not
Apple
it.
Apple Arcade in December.
Ooh, let's go.
That is not it.
I'm totally going to download it because I love playing Sonic games I end up hating later.
I was going to say, you don't even like Sonic games after the first two levels.
No, Sonic Frontiers was genuinely pretty good.
All right.
Except for all the crap.
We're in the doldrums of arcade news right now.
To be fair, it's been a bang on year.
Because that's the thing is
this year's been amazing.
The big games have come out for the year. There's I think only one or two games still that haven't come out, and they're the yearly ones that you know are going to come out and do exactly what the last year's version of it did with, like, Call of Duty comes out next week, stuff like that. But this news I did get quite excited about. Starfield has finally confirmed that they are getting their DLSS on very soon. If you sign up for, or not sign up, but enable beta updates on Steam, you will have DLSS and frame gen built into Starfield next week.
Sorry, cool. Game Pass users.
That's me.
And they said that...
that's going to smooth things out, right? Smooth a lot of the...
FSR already smooths things out some, but DLSS just does it looking a lot better than FSR does. The image quality is much higher
than DLSS. Is FSR AMD's answer to DLSS?
Yeah. Hmm. And then they did also confirm that they're going to have FSR3 support in the future in a future update. So you will have the option for frame generation on the NVIDIA cards and on the AMD cards.
AMD improves FSR3 because it's kind of useless at this point.
I wouldn't say it's useless. As long as
it's
the frame
mostly rate, useless.
As long as your frame rate's high enough, like if your frame rate's already above 60, FSR3 is not too bad.
Because and does it work better?
You have to cap it though. It doesn't support VRR.
Oh, so, I forgot about that. That sucks.
So it makes
that's
it worthless.
No good.
Yeah,
that's frustrating.
And does it work better if you stay in house if you have like an AMD GPU and their AMD SoC?
No,
does it like do like the fabric?
No, they don't have any. They don't have any specialized hardware.
Do on the AMD fabric? Cards. Wait.
Like the fabric.
Do the fabric. What does that mean, Owen?
That's what they called it.
I think he meant do to the fabric. The Infinity
do
fabric.
Do to the fabric? What does the Infinity fabric have anything to do with this?
It was a direct line to the GPU versus having to bypass through memory or whatever, my guy.
No. I think you're thinking about...
That's a rebar.
Yeah, rebar.
I like rebar. What if I say it's sultry? Will that get us past this moment where Jaren's trying to...
No.
Do it. Do it.
Hey, quit hitting me with that rebar, Jaren. It's really not
You're the one that
good.
Said fabric.
We could just move on.
And it's actually Infinity Cache on the GPU.
Whatever.
And Infinity fabric on the CPU.
Fabric.
There you go. Fabric is in the word. I was 90% of the way there.
That has nothing to do with it.
It does.
Owen, your math is like mine. I like it.
Yeah. Boom.
It's whatever I say it is.
I make my own reality.
That's right.
Welcome to the current times, my guy.
I reject your reality and replace it with my own.
Mm-hmm.
So
you got my vote, Owen.
No word on when it'll come to the Xbox app version of Starfield. So this will only be on Steam at first next week. If you're on the beta, if you check that beta update box, if you don't check the beta update box, you'll get it the same time the Xbox app does on your PC, which is probably a couple of weeks. They basically want to use Steam users as their guinea pigs to see how well the implementation is.
They know that's what the PC gamers live.
Yeah,
they know you will. There's Jaren's and Tony's out there.
I'm checking the box 100%.
Sounds like they fired their PC QA team.
Yeah. You think they ever had one? I mean, judging by the way their games come out, I'm not convinced they had one.
Yeah, you might be right.
So, let's see. Now, in other news, games that implement DLSS and frame gen excellently, Alan Wake 2 came out last week, and Jaren
rave reviews.
Yep, Jaren's going to do a full review on it later, but for now, he's got his first impressions.
The Jaren pre-review. Yeah.
Don't skip over the fabric part.
How's the fabric rendering? Is beautiful.
Nice.
No, it honestly looks great. The fabric. I've put 2 to 3 hours in it, and it's a very disturbing, terrifying game. I feel desensitized, so I'm able to handle it. So,
I love that about Jaren.
Congratulate me.
I love about Jaren. He's so willing to play a game that looks beautiful. He's willing to like subject himself to terror, which I know he doesn't actually like. And so he's like, but it looks good. But
it's so I gotta watch it, you know.
But I'm gonna get jump scared. But the pixels.
I survived.
So good.
I survived Half-Life Alyx, so it feels like I can do anything at this point.
Yeah.
Maybe that desensitized you a little bit.
That's where I got this. Yeah. That's where I first got this impression of Jaren was from Half-Life Alyx, when he was like, I love the game, but I hate the game, but I loved it. But man, the face jumpers.
It was so good.
Head crabs.
Dude, like,
head crabs.
Crawling in the dark when you hear zombie noises and head crabs jumping at you. Ugh, it's terrifying.
That noise the head crabs make when they jump at you too is just, it's unnerving, but it's also funny at the same time. I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
So you're liking it though?
Anyway.
Good first impressions?
Very, very solid launch. I'm playing it on the PC, but it does well across all platforms. PS5, Xbox Series X, and it's kind of decent on the S. Bad image quality, but otherwise decent. But the launch was super solid. It runs well. The graphics are absurd. Literally the best looking game I've ever seen.
Wow.
It is next level crap that you're looking at here. Like the forest that you walk through is the densest vegetation I've ever seen in a video game. And the lighting with it, it doesn't look like 2D billboards like normal vegetation.
I was gonna say it look like a fern when you walk up to it, and all of a sudden you're just instantly like on the other side of it.
Turns and twists.
Yeah. Dude, it looks so good. And outside of graphics, I know Lando's starting to nod off. Yep.
That's been happening for a while now.
I will say, Lando, that this is one of those games where the graphics really do add to the game. Like, I can't imagine this game with Switch level graphics. It just would not work like it does with.
That's fair.
On the gameplay, else. The gameplay itself is not enough to carry it. It needs the graphics actually add that much.
Well,
to
the
it.
Graphics play into the yes. gameplay.
The graphics play into the gameplay, so yeah. It wouldn't be nearly as a terrifying experience if it didn't feel real. Anyway, super bizarre game, but in like the best Remedy way ever.
Remedy's it's, good at that.
Man, their style that they perfected with Control is just on full display here. It's oh, I love it so much. And after the end of each chapter, it plays this song. I don't know if they're written specifically for the game. It, judging by the lyrics, it sounds like they are. But they're like good songs. It's pretty cool.
Wouldn't surprise
super impressed
me.
So far. Super impressed. It is it's interesting. It's fun. The story is very good so far. I'm expecting great things, and I'm seeing it so far. So there you go.
Nice.
Cool. Get it.
I will do that. All right. Let's talk about some retro games. Two specifically. First, Atari has made another purchase. If you remember, they recently purchased Night Dive Studios, who are the current kings of old school, like first-person shooter remakes and things like that.
Remasters.
Yeah, sorry. Not full-on remakes, but remasters. They do it in a way that the game looks like your rose-colored glasses memory remembers it. And they update the gameplay of it so it feels modern, but still also like the old game that you remember playing. They are absolutely fantastic dev team. I love Night Dive Studios. Well, Atari has decided they want to. I think they actually have direction now, and they know what they want to do with their company because they've purchased another development team called Digital Eclipse. And Digital Eclipse is another team focused on restoring old games. They are currently famous for emulating and emulating and bringing up to date recent projects that include Street Fighter 30th Anniversary, Mega Man Legacy Collection, SNK 40th Anniversary.
They did those remasters?
Yeah, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the Cowabunga Collection, and the Disney Classic Games Collection. They have a good pedigree. They've done a lot of good work. And their most recent one was Atari 50, the Anniversary Collection, which was
good.
Well-received. Yep.
Yeah.
So they are now a part of the Atari brand, and they were purchased for about $20 million.
Yes, I read that. I read that title and said up to $20 million. I said, "What does that mean? Up to $20 million?
How do you sell something for
And then I thought to myself, What's Atari paying for this with? They don't have that much left there, you know.
Yeah, it's probably offering them incentive based.
Yeah, the deal is structured this way: $4 million in cash up front. That's what they're. Okay. That's what these guys. And then they're getting $2.5 million in Atari stock. Now that's an IOU, sir, right there. That's like money.
Hang on to that.
That'll be worth something. That's 250K right there. That's a car. And then the rest, like Jaren, earnout. So over the next 10 years, $13.5 million over the next 10 years, based on performance. So. I guess, yeah, I was going to say, Atari doesn't have that much buying power left to do a $20 million deal, but if they're going to structure it in a way that breaks it up, and this is kind of a testament to doing good business and to treating developers right. The reason why they said they were going to do this is because when they did the Atari 50th anniversary thing, the CEO said the trust that Atari gave our team to be creative and to get the job done and what they did for us made this a no-brainer for us to trust them and do the deal. So, because that's a big, that's getting $4 million in cash. That's basically what you sold for, and then $2.5 million in stock is a hope, and $13.5 million in cash over the next 10 years based on performance is also a hope. Yep. So, kind of a testament to letting devs and trusting and you know. Anyway, I think it's kind of cool. I don't know that it's worth $20 million, but hey.
This is a really cool direction for Atari, though.
It's a direction.
If they do well at this, like, Atari could be a beloved brand again. Yeah, maybe
they, exactly.
maybe,
they could be.
Maybe we can all get past the speaker hat fiasco. And
that's the thing for the last again. Like 10 years. What have they been doing? Speaker hats and lackluster
emulator,
overly Retro-cons. Priced console emulator things. Yeah. So
I was gonna hit him with a joke about the whole what they used to pay for this the hats, because I don't
definitely
think
not.
Didn't do so good. So.
Hope it does well, though. A lot of times, consolidation of game studios, such as the Embracer Group, you know, not good news. So we'll see.
It's kind of cool just because this fits a niche with the retro games, you know, in that field. Yeah,
that's true. And that's,
you know, there's a bunch of forgottenware out there of old arcade games, all sorts of IP out there that's just kind of fallen by the wayside that they could pick up and start to really make themselves into something, you know.
Yeah, I think that's what the difference is between this and someone like Embracer, where Embracer, it felt like, was just gobbling up as many studios as they can, regardless.
With no vision.
Of what the studios are good at or not good at. Whereas this feels like a clear direction, which is great and also weird to see Atari do that after seeing the decisions they've made over the last 10 years. So I just hope that that they will get back to the status that they deserve and have giant building-wide signs like in Blade Runner again.
Dude, they have they have the best logo of any company ever been around.
Yeah. I just love that scene in Blade Runner when they're flying by and it's the Atari logo on a skyscraper. It just looks so cool. All right. So that's potentially really good news. Good stuff right there. Let's talk about another remake that, you know, I dumped on I dumped on Konami really hard last week for the Metal Gear Solid Remastered Collection for a good reason. It's a piece of crap. Don't buy it. However, they actually might be doing something good with the Metal Gear Solid remake.
Is that what you think? Because that's
they
not
might be.
That's not what I think.
I don't know. I think it's got potential.
You have a different perspective because you actually played it. I never played any Metal Gear game. But they showed a Metal Gear Solid Snake Eater first in-engine look, whatever that means. In-engine
mean
is not in-game. It's like pie in the sky. Who knows? But it's made in Unreal Engine 5, so it's probably going to run horribly on PC.
Unreal Engine 5 has got potential. If it was Unreal Engine 4, I'd say write it off.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I hope.
Such a naysayer.
Anyway, it's a jungle scene of what's his name?
Solid Snake.
There we go. Solid Snake.
Well, actually, this is lurking Solid Snake. This is Naked Snake, but yes.
Naked Snake? I've never even heard of Naked Snake.
Where is it? Snakes. Right there. It says it in the second paragraph.
Yeah.
It certainly looks impressive. The flora and fauna of Selenyarsk has been rendered in photorealistic detail, as is Naked Snake, who is shown mud-caked, sun-dappled, and stealthily sneaking through tall grasses.
To me, the trailer looks like stock Unreal Engine assets with a boosted-up version of Naked Snake. It feels weird saying that. with bad animation, with like PS2 level animation. That's what it feels like to me. I mean, this is extremely early footage, so hopefully it gets better than this.
Well, and they might be going for that. They might be going for animation that matches the PS2 style animation.
I hope not, because it looks way out of place with everything else that's pretty high fidelity.
That's how it looked, though. And back then it was the same thing. The fidelity at the time for Metal Gear Solid 3 was very high, very impressive, and it still had the classic Metal Gear Solid animation movements and things like that.
Okay, so, well, tell me this.
It might be a purposeful choice.
The current Konami, which has pretty much done nothing in the last 6 or 7 years, the current Konami who released that disaster of a Metal Gear collection a couple weeks ago, do you trust them to do this justice?
Good point.
I do not. But I hope that they might.
I do not.
You're not gonna send it down the river just because of that.
Not yet.
Nostalgia's making you wanna.
Oh man, I'm gonna.
So you've poo-pooed on all the games I've been excited about.
Okay.
So I'm gonna do this to you.
Poo-poo away.
I think your hope for it being good is overshadowing the facts here, and you know deep down inside your heart that this is going to be a stinker.
Well, I think you might be right about all of those things, and yet I will hold on to that little flame of hope and nurse it until it comes out and gets terrible reviews, and then I will snuff it out and go cry. That is the end.
That's it.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens with it. It doesn't say right here. I'm curious who they actually have making it, though, because I don't even know if Konami has any in-house developers anymore.
Even if they're not making it, though, do you trust Konami to say, okay, we'll give you another year of time? No, they'll say, publish it as soon as you can. We don't care what it's going to be like.
That's a good point. So, we'll see. It's got to be better than that new Sonic game on iPhone. That's going to be terrible.
Oh, dude, this is going to be so awesome. It's exclusive to Apple for some reason. It's probably going to play horribly because
I'll tell you the reason.
iPhone money. Controls suck.
Hey, let's talk about iPhone controls. Let's talk about our experiences with Resident Evil Village on iPhone and iPad so far.
Okay, so this is a free demo that you can pay to upgrade to the full game. Kind of like the old days, right?
Yeah.
When demos were around, it's kind of refreshing. Glad they did that because I wouldn't have bought this otherwise. But I tried it out on my phone, and on the one hand, it is a technical achievement beyond measure. It's freaking amazing. On the other hand, looking at it in a practical view, you're not going to play this on your phone.
Nope.
What about with a backbone?
This is what I was talking about.
With a couple reasons.
A backbone, you might be okay for a little bit.
It's like Minecraft. Minecraft without a backbone on my phone would suck, but Minecraft on my phone with my backbone is the best.
Nothing like Minecraft.
The reason is...
The point is the backbone, not the game, Tony.
Oh.
You missed
I think Jaren's trying to say something.
I know he is, and I'm trying to let him. Hey, go ahead,
Jaren. Yes, Owen.
Continue. Hi, buddy. I'm interested in what you're saying.
Okay. Anyway.
Okay, Jaren.
Played it and did some quick napkin math on battery life. So it sucked 10% of my battery life in 12 minutes.
Yep.
Wow.
That
equates to less than 2 hours of battery life on my Pro Max, which is the much bigger phone with a bigger battery.
Yeah.
So
that's crazy.
The problem is your phone is quite the necessary object in your life, right? You need your phone. Some people need their phone to operate their car because it acts as a key. You need your phone to get around in your car. Everyone knows what
you're tethered to either a battery pack or a wall charger if you're going to play this game on your phone.
Exactly. What needs to exist is a backbone style controller with a battery pack built into it.
There you go.
That would make this worthwhile.
Just out of curiosity, if you were playing the exact same game on your Ally, what would the battery life be there?
Probably an hour and a half to 2 hours.
So about the same.
About the same. But once your gaming device ends, you don't need to make a call on it. You don't need to text someone.
Did you get any nostalgia feeling like the old PSP? Like you're like, oh, it's chewing through batteries.
You get
30 minutes of play.
It got really hot as well.
Yeah. I don't like that.
That usually indicates not being optimized, right, for the platform.
Not necessarily. It just means that it's pushing the device hard, and with good reason, because it looked beautiful on the phone. It was
an amazing
achievement,
says Jaren. Yeah.
Without measure,
beyond measure.
I turned on all of the graphics options. Didn't set them to max. But like, if there was a low option, I selected low. But for the options that were either on or off, I chose on. And what's surprising about this is there are graphics options. I was expecting a console type experience where there really are no graphics options. Right. You can choose the resolution. You can choose upscaling, yes or no. You can choose screen space reflections, ambient occlusion. Like, the whole gamut of graphics options are there, which is cool for users like me and Tony who know what they're doing. But for a lot of casual gamers,
just leave it on default.
Yeah, you're going to be super confused.
Yeah, right? They should just have some presets, right?
They do. Yeah.
Okay. So you can do like potato mode and probably get a little bit extra battery life from it. So maybe up to 2.5 to 3 hours at most. I wouldn't expect anything past that. But again, you still run into it's a phone problem. And then it brings me to touchscreen controls. It is a horrible experience with touchscreen controls. Just like any other game. It's not the game's fault. It's the... it's the input device. Fault. Yeah.
I downloaded it before we started tonight and played it on my iPad Pro. It's the M2 iPad Pro. And I also went through about 10% of battery in 12 minutes or so on the iPad Pro.
iPad. Wow, that's nuts.
I was I did go ahead and crank the settings up all the way, with the resolution up all the way. And, well, there was a couple things I didn't turn up to the max because I could see that it was starting to go over the 8 gigabytes of RAM that the system has. So I kept it under 8, but I ended up with mostly high and a few max settings. And it looked quite good. It looked quite good.
What was the frame rate like?
I don't know. But I want to say between 30 and 60. So I'm sure it was above 30.
For me, it was like between 30 to 40. That's what it felt like.
I would say I was probably 40s. I wish I had a frame rate counter, but it was definitely smoother than I thought it'd be with everything turned up. That is for sure.
Yeah, it's amazing. So if you're the kind of person who wants to take your phone and hook it up to a TV that has a adapter that also allows you to plug power into it at the same time, and you bring a controller with you, that's a lot of ifs, then I could see it be a compelling experience. Like, it still wouldn't.
So I think for Tony's experience with the iPad, I don't think you play iPad with the touchscreen. I think you can hook up.
I played the Xbox controller. I played the first 15 minutes of it with the touchscreen, and it was straight trash.
Just hook up controller to it.
So then I grabbed one of my 8-bit do ultimate controllers and hooked it up
up,
and yeah, it worked a lot better. It was great actually, but it's still the battery life was just
I'd be interested if you pick some more reasonable settings, what that would be like.
No, I did the high settings at the end of my test.
I know, but if you pulled those end of down.
That's what I said.
Oh, at the end of your test.
At the end of my test.
Yeah. Oh, and the battery. Tyler Lando totally missed what you're saying.
Yeah, the battery continued. It didn't go. I don't think it depleted any faster, but even with the settings at low on almost everything, and there is a massive difference on the resolution with their upscaling. I put it on the middle resolution that they offer with upscaling and looking at the trees and the leaves and things, they looked. On the iPad, anyway, it looked kind of dookie. But when I bumped that resolution up and increased the settings, it looked quite good, surprisingly good. So
I chose 900p on the iPhone with upscaling, and it looked great on that tiny screen.
Yeah, on a small screen, it would still look quite good. Yeah. So,
like, on the one hand, super impressive experience. On the other, it's just not practical. There needs to be a controller, a backbone controller, with a battery built into
or
it, like a 6,000 milliampere battery. Then you get like 3 hours and you wouldn't be touching your phone battery at all. It'd be sweet.
I would say
for those college kids we've talked about that, they don't have a laptop, they don't have a computer, they only have an iPhone or an iPad. This is for them.
Are there people that exist like that are in college that don't have a laptop?
Mm-hmm. Oh, we've had this conversation before, Tony. Like, there's a surprising number of students who type out like full papers for college on their iPhones. With their thumbs. Oof. It's like
I cannot get behind
a
that.
Surprising number of students who do that.
My thumbs just ache.
Wow.
So I think the number of students who only have an iPad or only have a phone are much higher than your perception.
And I hope they get that experience because right now there's only one game.
How much was it? How much was it?
Well, that's okay. That's
well, there's
thing
lots
I was
of games
say.
On iPad, Jaren. What are you talking about?
One no, he's triple, talking about
triple A
one triple A game.
That's how you define triple A.
I did read though. I thought that they dropped the price from what they were going to originally sell it to. I think it's $39.99 now instead of
it's $40, but right now you can get it for $24.
Oh, is that what there it is? It's on sale right now. So yeah, but it's $40 regular price. And before when we were talking about it, they were saying it was $50 or $60 regular price. So.
Tons of awesome games you can play on your iPad with a controller that are just, you know, tons of fun. So I think as far as like a college student or one of the Gen Zers that we talk about and judge so harshly, if they have a Bluetooth controller on their iPad, there's tons of content for them, and this is just more for them to do.
Yeah, but this is the next level content. This
AAA,
is
AAA. Yeah. That's what we're talking about.
I don't think they even care about that distinction.
Some do.
They should.
If the kind of person who has an iPad only for university and for college classes, they're not the kinds that care about the distinction.
Well, if they don't care, why is Apple focusing so much on it lately?
They know somebody.
There's
cares.
Clearly a market there.
Mm-hmm. They probably think they can get people to care that don't currently.
Maybe.
I hope.
So.
I wouldn't mind.
All right. Let's see. Old school games. One more cool story about old school gaming action. Perfect Dark. Perfect Dark is actually being ported to the PC in a project that is really neat. It's definitely not from the developers. It's not from Rare. But what this team is doing is the same thing that's been done with a couple of other N64 games where they basically I don't even know how they do this, but they unpack the game, the original game, and make it fully ported to the PC platform.
They decompile
Perfect Dark.
It?
Is Perfect Dark
yeah,
the one that was supposed to be?
That's the word. Yeah.
Is this the game that was supposed to be the Halo killer?
This is the OG
Perfect Dark on N64.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So this was the GoldenEye clone type.
Yeah,
game.
This was the game that Rare made when Nintendo didn't want to splash out on another James Bond license, and they were already making the game, and so they said, "All right, well, let's turn it into a sci-fi spy game instead of a James Bond spy."
This was a great game, actually.
This is a fantastic game. If it weren't for the same problem that GoldenEye has, where the frame rate is just like, it'll make your eyes bleed now.
Yeah, you know,
12 back
year
in the
old
day,
me didn't care.
Back in the day, you didn't notice it. I didn't notice it back in the day, really. But now, holy moly. However, what this is doing is they're decompiling this game, and you can currently download it right now on GitHub. You have to have a ROM for it, but you can download everything you need from what this team has done and apply it to the ROM and end up playing it natively, running natively on the PC, not an emulator.
Wow.
And you can play it at a full 60 FPS on the PC.
Ooh.
Yep, Perfect Dark from the N64, full 60 FPS on the PC. And I love this statement near the end by the article, the writer on Tweaktown. He says, here's to hoping we see someone adding some 4K texture packs to mod into this and some path tracing and things like that to the game. So, but yeah, it could be done because this isn't an emulation anymore. It's been decompiled and it's running natively on the PC. So pretty cool.
Windows and Linux.
Cool. Yep.
How do they decompile it without the source code? Like I feel like you have to have
I have
access
no idea
to the
how
source.
That works. Yeah. No clue.
Smart people.
Yeah, people just much smarter than us, that's for sure.
I always just assumed you had to have the source code to decompile that way because the game, you can't get the cartridge or whatever and decompile that way. It's missing most of the code.
That's the problem that you see with a couple of remakes, remasters we've seen with some of the games, like the Blade Runner point-and-click adventure game that came out this is Night Dive's only stinker. I think about 6 months ago it was the Blade Runner point and click remake came out and it ran like dog dookie because they tried to up-res it and stuff without having the original code and not decompiling it and redoing it. And it just did not turn out good. They've since updated it and made it somewhat better and things like that. But
basically, if you can't decompile it, you have to run it in emulation, right?
It's much harder to apply mods and things to emulation than it is when it's running natively.
Neat.
All right, let's do a lightning round real quick and call it a night. Jaren, go ahead first.
Bungie's laying off a bunch of people.
Oh, Bungie.
They've lost their way.
How the mighty have fallen.
Yeah. Destiny 2 expansion, the final shape, has been delayed. Their Marathon remake is also delayed. They laid off over 100 people. They just have... Like, Destiny's gone downhill quite a bit. Like, every Destiny fan I've heard from is, you know...
I don't play it anymore.
It's not great.
The biggest, I saw an article about this other than this one that you posted to, and it was really interesting because they were looking at it from the point of view of what's Bungie done lately. And they basically pointed out, truthfully, I might add, that Bungie has ridden its success of Halo ever since they left Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
And Destiny... Yep. To Destiny's credit, to their credit, the gameplay, the gunplay on Destiny is tight. It is great.
But
everything around that is not that good. The storytelling is poopy.
They wrote that for a long time, though, right?
Oh, like yeah.
Because I'll be honest, Destiny 2 because they did Halo. That's the only reason I even looked at it.
Well, and that's the other thing this person brings up in the article is that... if it weren't for the fact that Destiny had such tight gameplay and gunplay, people wouldn't have played it after that anymore. But people say, you read comments about it, it's like, well, I don't understand anything about how this story is, but the gameplay's fun. I don't get at all, you know, why Bungie does this or whatever, but the gameplay is fun. And that's the thing. You can't just ride that forever without bringing the other stuff up to snuff too.
It's even more evident. Like what was a couple years ago, they brought a Halo-esque weapon into Destiny to try and like relight the fire. There were some weapons that looked like Halo weapons.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It was. Yeah. I think it was just last year, or the year before. They were homages to Halo weapons. And, you know, almost like a, hey, you guys, you remember this?
Remember this, guys? Play us.
You remember this? Yeah. So,
how much did Sony buy them for?
Billions, 3.6 with a B, billions. Ooh. Last year. The deal completed last year. So,
I have no interest in the next Destiny expansion, but I hope Marathon is good. That could be interesting.
Yeah. It's like, well, I mean, and that's the same complaint that I've had about Destiny forever is I would love to get into play it some more because it is fun, but they don't make it easy to start. They don't make it, I think you're muted, Lando. Oh, are you just not saying anything? No, I can't hear you. Anyway, they don't make it easy to start. They don't make it clear on what to do. The only thing that's easy to get into in Destiny is the multiplayer. If you want to get in and play some deathmatch, that's simple. That's easy to do. But
because the gunplay is still really fun, right?
Yeah, like, but everything like around that is just kind of like,
yeah,
what am I doing with all these resources I'm gathering? How come some of my guns that I really like all of a sudden got taken away from me and put in the vault? Why aren't they supported anymore? You know, stuff like that. Just weird things. Oh, Lando's gone. Anyway, my lightning round is just related to Call of Duty and how ridiculously huge the game is. And I'm not talking about player base. I'm not talking about profits. I'm talking about the actual game file is just stupid huge.
So you basically have to have your own computer for this at this point. Just
200.
Its own drive. Its own drive.
Yeah, 213 gigabytes.
What?
For the game, if you want to have the multiplayer and the single player and the HD texture pack installed.
That's crazy.
Nuts.
213 gigabytes. That's a full... You remember back when a 256 SSD was big? Mm-hmm. That's a whole thing. All that's used up for this one game.
That's bonkers.
It's crazy. And they also said it's SSD only.
It has to be an SSD game.
Yes, spinny disks... need not apply.
Wow.
Not even like, the hybrids with like, I wonder if the hybrids with like the SSD cache
it,
or whatever.
It might still work with regular hard drives, but they recommend SSD.
Right.
So, and the thing, it's like they don't even care about asset compression anymore. They're just like,
well, you just, remember when we first, when they first dropped it, it was like 150 or 180 gigs the first, when they first dropped this game. And I remember we were all going to get it because I was like, oh yeah, I guess I'll give this one a go. And I was like, I don't have, I didn't have gig internet speed at the time. And so that was a 3-day download for me. like, well, imagine this typical gamer, because the typical internet user doesn't have even 100 meg, right? There's still this asymmetrical like 80 by 20 or even, and that's really good. It's more 50, like
10.
Yeah, more like 50/10 or 42, you know?
Yeah, so
it only requires 2 gigs of VRAM though, surprisingly, for the minimum spec. That's low for today.
Yeah, wow. they want as many people playing the game as they can, but apparently they just don't care about space on your hard drive.
Right. They're just like, we're not compressing anything.
Yep.
And maybe that's why they don't need VRAM, because it doesn't have to
unpack the textures. Mm-hmm. This sent me down a little rabbit hole where I was like, well, what are the biggest games install sizes? And I found a website here that had the top 10 as of when is this? Oh, as of September of this year, at least according to what they know. Number 10, Final Fantasy 15 on Windows was 100, a paltry 100 gig, only 100. Hmm. Mass Effect Legendary Edition comes in at 120. I will give them a pass, though, because that's 3 huge games. So that's more like each game is 40 gig, if you ask me. Assassin's Creed Valhalla, 130 gig plus.
Wow.
Jedi Survivor came out this year, 155.
That is nuts. It does look amazing, though.
Red Dead Redemption 2, 150 plus. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, we just went over that one, 213. They only have it listed as 125.
That's two. You're talking about three.
Oh, that's two. We were talking about three. That's right. So two is 125. And if you include Warzone, it goes much higher than that as well. So anyway, Forspoken this year, 150 plus, 150 gig plus.
That game didn't even look that good.
Now, this was one that surprised me. Quantum Break from Remedy Games.
What?
Yeah, Quantum Break, which excellent game, by the way. If you haven't played it, definitely go play it. 178 gig for Quantum Break. And that is because all of the cutscenes in between each section are fully rendered TV episodes with live action actors and everything. So it's the storage for those video files. Destiny 2, we talked about, you add up all the DLCs on that one, 233 gig for your Destiny 2 install. And the number one big fat game out there, Ark Survival Evolved.
Dinosaur Minecraft.
Yeah, if you install all the DLCs and everything, if you install every piece of the content that they've put
all
out.
All the add-ons.
Yep, 400 gig.
You know what they say it requires?
What?
60 gigs.
Yeah, they come
say, on the Steam page, it says Ark Survival Evolved requires a download of 60 gigabytes in-game storage size. Yeah, that's true, but all the add-ons. 400 gigabytes.
Dude, that's almost half a terabyte for one game. Yeah. Wild.
And that's all not right. Didn't they just make a new Ark game?
Yeah.
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 It's in early access now. Right. So, or coming really soon. One of the two. Yep.
I have a lightning round. It's just Halo Infinite.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of fun again.
Yeah, that's 343 Industries now, not Bungie.
No, not Bungie.
That's right.
Nope.
That's
right. Nope.
Yeah. So I've been getting back in. I mean, I played Baldur's Gate a lot, but I kind of take a break, breathers to go play some Halo Infinite. And just tell you, I had the worst thing happen to me. Okay. Do we have time for a quick story?
None of your stories are quick, Owen.
No.
That's what I'm saying. Do we have time for an Owen story? It's like 3 minutes. Here we go.
Like
I'm doing it.
15 minutes, then.
I'm playing.
You want me to start a timer?
I'm not having a good game. I'm just not having a good game. It's new maps. This is first I'll tell you why Halo multiplayer is fun. First of all, tons of new maps, right? Like some of them have been created in Forge, vetted through community. They're super fun. New texture packs, like new like packs and armor and all that stuff, incorporating I think the Flood back in.
Yeah, looks like it.
And then in Super Fiesta, they've brought a whole bunch of cool stuff back, like plasma grenades. You get the shock grenades again. You get the spiker grenades,
dynamo grenades.
All those. You get those back in the Super Fiesta now, which you didn't have before.
That's a great addition.
What has been? Oh my gosh! What a game changer! Like, I understand why they took it out because it would add so much more chaos. But the game was starting to stagnate a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Adding the different grenade types back in has been epically bad for me, but fun for the game. And I'm playing. And there's this guy. He's doing worse than me. Okay, I'm having like a 5-12 match. Okay, I'm not doing great. I'm not used to this map. The maps are new. Mm-hmm. That really throws me because I don't know how to run away. And you could tell he's playing with his buddy, who his buddy is like super top rank, probably competitive. Like he's he went like 20-8. Okay, like he was really good. And this friend that's playing with him turns on his mic and he goes, "Mordiath, you're the reason we're losing."
Oh, no.
Sat there for the entirety of the game, which is, if you play Halo Infinite, it's about 12 minutes. For the entirety of the game, he was just like, "Bro, get a mic. Can you talk? Like, what's going on?
Was this suckiest." Was this the guy that was doing good or the guy that was doing crappy?
This was his friend that was crappy. I was having like a, you know, a 5-12.
Yeah.
He was at 4 kills, 13 or 16 deaths.
Oof.
Okay. He was having a horrible game. He's just not good. But he sat there the whole time, like 12 minutes, just being like, "Dude, you are like, are you?" And like, I mean, the most horrible things you can say on the internet, even like it. And I was like, "This is actually kind of hurting." And I was like, trying to remember how to mute somebody specifically, and I'm like, "He's just, I can't." So then I'm like, "Whatever." Game ends. Of course, we lost. Thanks to him, actually.
Yeah.
I came up even with like 8 kills, 9 deaths, 3 assists. Okay, not a bad showing, but not helping at all. Next match starts. Same team.
Oh, no.
Him and his buddy again.
So did you turn your mic on?
No, I didn't turn my mic on. I had nothing nice to say. But it's just for another 12 minutes. And by this time, I'm pretty infuriated. So I just basically followed him around and took his kills.
Nice.
And then when he died, I teabagged my own team. Remember.
Attaboy.
So,
that's what we're talking about.
Satisfying end to that story.
It was good. There you go.
Well done.
Be nice. Come on. There's guys like me out there. That's it.
You're that was my story. Three minutes and 20 seconds. Good job.
Boom. I know. I told you. It was 3 minutes. It was a quick story. Thank you.
Nailed it. Well done, sir. Okay, well, that is the end of today's episode. Thank you so much for joining us. Before we say goodbye, though, big shout out to our awesome Patreon backers, patreon.com/gadgetspot. You help keep the lights on, and we appreciate you. If you donate $6 a month or more, you get a shout out on the air, which Jaren has for us right now.
Thank you, Tech Daddies, David Broshinsky, Connor Keesaw, Wolfaball Tony. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Upskilled Triantula, Andy Bird, Be the 8-Year-Old, Travis Johnson, check out the new Baldur's Gate 3 custom tech stickers on Pyman Graphics on Etsy, Jeremy, No Name No Color, Keslo, Eric Steinman, Eric Cruz, Nathan Motzkus, Matt Nelson. Y'all should check out Hendrix Craftsman on Insta and TikTok, me, speechless like a Japanese video game, .. Josh D, Dick Messerly, Adam, Aaron Faulkner, Stuart Lloyd, Joe, There's No Place Like G28, X0, Y0, Z0, Ryan M, and Adam Hecht. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, thank you so much. Okay, we'll see you next week. Owen, take us out.
Hey. We hope you care.